everyone. Welcome back to the Strong with Julie podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Victoria. She is the manager of St. Pete Girls Who Walk, and she manages all of the marketing, the social media. She is my biggest helper ever, and she's helped the club just grow so much more than I could ever imagine. Anyways, let me let her introduce herself, because I could talk about you all day. But yeah, tell them about how you got to Florida, your upbringing, all the things.
Hi everyone, I'm Victoria, and I met Julie in September, like a month after she had started the walking group. We met at a coffee shop. I just went up to her after a walk and asked if I could help do marketing and the Canva and event planning. And I grew up in the DC area, I guess. Fun fact, I used to live in Hawaii for almost 3 years.
Super fun fact. Tell them a little bit about what brought you to Hawaii from DC.
Yeah, so I got a new job and they let me pick from 18 locations. I think normally they just give you the location you're like closest to. For me, would have been DC, but I specifically told them when I applied to the job that I didn't want to stay in DC. So I got to pick, there's tons of places like Atlanta, Alaska, Puerto Rico, California, Miami, but I picked Hawaii.
Honolulu.
Yeah, Honolulu. And I lived like right in Waikiki. I had like an ocean view apartment.
That's so cool.
I didn't have an ocean view when I first moved there. But I got it after like 3 months. But I picked Hawaii and I left my dog behind because you can't bring puppies. You can bring the puppies, but you have to fill out paperwork. It takes like 2 to 4 months. And I only had 12 days to get to Hawaii when I got offered the job. So.
Oh, really? I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Ooh. I took like 3 suitcases. Wow. And I didn't. It's crazy. When I flew there, I didn't even have a place to sleep that night. My mom helped me move there. We flew there. And then while we were on the plane, my dad found us a hotel and he booked it for like 2 nights because I didn't have a place to live or a car. And I didn't know anyone.
So, did you get your Jeep there?
I did.
Yeah.
I had 2 Jeeps in Hawaii. I actually had 3 cars in Hawaii. I had like a little island car. Yeah. I had like a little island car that was this like 2001 little, like, I call it a drug dealer car, but everyone drives those in Hawaii. And then I upgraded to like a 2-door Jeep Wrangler, but I call it like an island Jeep. An island car is just like a really old car that's like only been on the island. It doesn't have a lot of miles though, because the island's not very big. But they're pretty old. And then I upgraded again to a 4-door Jeep Wrangler. And at one point, I had both Jeeps. And I would, like, rent them out on Turo, like, both of the
That's
Jeeps.
That's so smart. She's so business mindset oriented. Like, how smart is that?
I know.
To do that in Hawaii. Like, you probably made bank.
I did. And I also had, like, a little mask business. Yeah. I would, like, buy masks from this lady. They were, like, handmade Hawaiian masks. And then I'd ship them to the mainland because there was, like, a huge shortage of masks.
Wow.
And they were like Hawaiian printed, and then I'm from Virginia, so I like picked the colleges, like JMU, Virginia Tech, and UVA theme colors, but they were like Hawaiian printed.
Ooh.
I'll have to show you a picture, and then sold those, so it was really cool.
Cool. Okay, so I'm going to Hawaii in a week and a half, which is kind of wild, and I'm so not prepared for it, and like I should probably start thinking about it, but I'm so excited, and I'm going to Honolulu, so like where you were. Tell us like maybe 2 or 3 of your favorite things about Hawaii that you just don't get in the U.S.
Yeah, all right. Definitely the sunsets, they're amazing.
Better than Florida?
Yeah.
Florida sunsets are pretty dope.
Yeah. They're like amazing. Like you don't even need a filter when you take the picture. But not every sunset is good, in my opinion. Like once you live in Hawaii, like sometimes you'll be like, wow, it's a really good sunset tonight. And then other days I would be like, oh, it's not that good tonight.
But like everyone always watches the sunsets because they're pretty.
But you can get these pancakes that are like turtle shaped.
Pancakes?
Yeah. It's like a pancake that they like make into a turtle with like whipped cream and fruit. It's near Diamond Head in Waikiki at this place called Cafe Moray.
Really
should definitely go. I like before I moved to Hawaii went on Instagram and was like searching all these places and I found them and then I went. I went a few times when I was in Hawaii. It was really cool.
That sounds right up my alley.
I know.
And sunsets and pancakes.
My other favorite thing was on the west side. of the island. It's called Electric Beach. You can go snorkeling, and you can also scuba dive there. But they have wild dolphins that come swim with you.
Oh, yeah. You just, like, grab on and go? Well, no.
You can't grab them, but they will come up and swim up next to you, and you can get pictures with them. There's, like, 100 of them. They come in, like, a pack.
That is so cool. I'm so excited for my trip, and, like, talking to you about how you lived there makes me, like, 10 times more excited about it.
When you're, like, telling me, you're like, oh, I wish you could come, I'm like, oh, I want to come.
She might still come.
I don't know. 6 days is, like, not enough for me, but...
It's a long flight.
I know. It's 13 hours in the air from the East Coast.
Yeah.
But, like, traveling, hours. It's, like, 22. 3-hour
layover.
Yeah.
And then, like... Yeah, it's just as a whole day.
I used to, like, at one point, my work paid me from my... Well, when I first moved there, work paid me from, like, flying from D.C. to Hawaii. So I had to, like, track the time. And it was, like, 23 hours of traveling. So they, like, paid me 23 hours from, like, leaving my D.C. house to, like, my Hawaii hotel.
See, I could get with that.
I know. But they actually didn't provide relocation assistance.
No?
And that was, like, part of the deal. Like, I could go wherever I wanted, but they didn't pay relocation assistance. But I was like, who gets offered a job in Hawaii?
Yeah.
And it was only 3 months, but it ended up being almost 3 years.
Do you want to talk a little bit about, like, how you found your passion, your job in college, and why you chose that job specifically? It's very unique, and I think it's so cool.
I guess, actually... In college, I also had a business, which kind of distracted me from my public health career for a few years. But I completely stopped doing the t-shirt business I had when I moved to Hawaii just to focus on my degree in public health and just infectious diseases was something I was always passionate about. But I didn't even know anything about epidemiology. It's like the study of epidemics.
Yeah.
Until I was a senior in high school, my physical therapist told me about it because I was telling her that I wanted to do something in the medical field, but I didn't want to go to med school. And then nursing, in my opinion, when I was younger, they didn't get paid enough for the amount of work they do. I know now nurses, like, make so much money.
Do they?
Especially during the pandemic. Yeah. I had some friends in Hawaii. They were on the COVID unit, and they made, like, $10,000 a week.
Wow.
But, like...
But scary job. Yeah.
And they were quarantined. Like, so they were quarantined. So, like, there was a bus that picked them up. They went to work all day in the COVID ICU. They had, like, masks and everything.
That's scary.
And then the bus drove them back, and they got food, like, delivered to their apartment, like, because they were exposed to COVID all day.
So they can't, that's scary. So they, did any of them get sick a lot?
The girl I know didn't get sick at all, but you couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
But she did it for 3 months, so she made bank, and then she's like, I can't do it again, I'm too tired. But
I would be exhausted.
Back to how I got into my career, so found out about that, public health and epidemiology, and I always liked infectious diseases, and then went to college and was first a bio major and then shortly switched to public health. But I then transferred colleges. So I went to, like, a small school, Elon, and was studying.
I didn't know you went to Elon.
Yeah, I thought you knew that.
No. That was your first school?
Yeah. I went there for a year. And so I was, like, public health major there. Mm-hmm. And then I transferred to Virginia Tech, and they didn't have public health. So I did the closest thing, which was human development. And then just happened to be that my advisor was creating, like, a public health major. So he gave me, like, the check sheet for that major, and I took all those classes under my major, and then I graduated in May 2018, so that fall 2018, the major was available to start with, so I could have, like, petitioned to be the first one to graduate with it, but it was, like, so much paperwork, I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I still tell people, like, I studied public health, but, like, I majored in human development.
Technically. Yeah.
Technically.
But it's, like, whatever.
Yeah, but after college, there was, like, no jobs available in public health that were, like, $12 an hour. And I had, like, graduated from college living in the D.C. area. I wasn't able to live off of that. Yeah. So I just decided to go work as a programs coordinator at a random company in the D.C. area. And then I was looking for a new job, and remember I saw, like, the... government was hiring for some people for the COVID-19 pandemic, and I found the job in January or
for
February.
Hawaii.
Yeah, I didn't know. Actually, didn't even know Hawaii was on the list because I was like, oh, there's no way I'm gonna get this job. So I didn't even read the like options of where you could move.
Wow.
And so I applied, and then they called me right away, and I got my offer letter. I remember I got my offer letter on like February 10th because 10 is my lucky number.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I always remember that.
You were just talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I moved to Hawaii like 12 days after that. So I think my first day in Hawaii was like February 22nd. Yeah. But just to put it into perspective, that was in 2020. We didn't like go into lockdown until March 16th or 13th.
Yeah.
So I was there a whole month before, and they had been hiring in January. So like, it only takes 2 months for an infectious disease to spread around the world.
That's wild.
So it was crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
When I got the job, my mom told me, she was like, don't tell anyone you're moving there because, COVID is like going to blow over maybe, and then you won't have a job, and you're telling everyone you're moving to Hawaii. So like, wait. And I'm like, what?
It lasted.
I already signed my contract. Yeah. I was like, I already signed my contract. I'm going.
Yeah.
But she didn't have, she was like, this sounds so sketchy.
Really? But it ended up being like a really cool experience. And so another fun fact is you were only supposed to be there for 3 months, right?
Yeah.
But you ended up being there for 3 years.
Almost 3 years, yeah.
Wow.
And then after COVID ended, like the funding ended, so everyone like job ended. It was just like a short-term thing.
Yeah.
Short-term, but it was like 3 years. So I came back to the East Coast for a new job, and it was crazy. It was really hard to leave afterwards. It's still like hard sometimes. Like
yeah.
That's why when you're like, oh, I want to come to Hawaii.
You're
like oh yeah, I do, but like I don't. 6 days is like not even enough.
You could come with me and then stay a little longer.
Yeah.
Or like we could extend the trip and just do us.
That'd be so fun.
Right.
I still have some friends that live there.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we'll talk about it after the podcast. Cause like for me, my thing is like traveling alone is so scary.
Oh yeah.
That flight, like that just makes me worried. But also like, I would love to have, like, a friend there.
Yeah.
To, like, experience it with.
You could do a bunch of, like, cool
posts.
Yeah, in reels. Like,
we could go to Hawaii Girls Who Walk.
There is one. Honolulu.
Yeah, we could go.
It's like Honolulu Girls Who Walk or something.
That would be so cool. Okay, let's talk about when you first discovered just the Girls Who Walk in general, the mass clubs around the United States. You were in D.C., right?
Yeah. I was in D.C., and I...
Where's Gus?
I had seen them on like TikTok, but didn't know DC had one. So I was like asking my friends like, hey, want to start a walking group? And then they told me there was the DC walking group.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I was visiting St. Pete one weekend and I went to your walk. I didn't know you at all. It was like September and was
you
like,
saw it on the Instagram, right?
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, do you need help like with social media? Like I love event planning.
After the walk, she came up to me at, I think we were at Green and Berry.
No, it was like some random one we never went to again. Crow, Black Crow or
oh,
something.
Oh yeah, yeah. And she came up to me after and I was like, yes. We'll get into why it was overwhelming me at first, but it was really helpful.
Yeah, so I was just like, let me help. I love like doing marketing. I've thought about like switching my career into like marketing or doing consulting.
You're kind of doing that anyway, slowly but surely.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I love the public health field, but
yeah. Well, I think it's nice that you have your day job kind of, but then you also have like a fun passion project on the side. I feel like if maybe in that moment in your life, if your actual job isn't like fulfilling that passion, to find it somewhere else, like it's good.
Yeah.
And it's more filling too.
Yeah.
You know?
It's good to have a backup plan because like in public health, everything runs on funding. So
yeah.
Even like my current job has like a time, like
an
expiration date.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. It like when I was working at Gartner, I was working like 8 to 5, but it definitely wasn't fulfilling my passion. So like I had my coaching on the side, but then it comes to a point where maybe your passion will outweigh your other job, yeah. So then you could like take it full time, which is cool. But yeah, for now, like you like the two and you're grinding and you're doing really good. Let's tell them about the St. Pete Girls Who Walk story. And then afterwards, you guys had some questions on how to start a club, where you're living, or how to join a club, where to find them. So we could definitely go through that too. But start of the club, it started in August of 2023. A week before I moved to St. Pete, I was living in Fort Myers, and I made the Instagram, and I was like, you know what? I am craving some community. I'm craving some in-person meetups with my followers, my clients, just people, and I'm moving to a new place, and I want to make friends. And I lived in Connecticut before that, so I knew about City Girls Who Walk, which I think was the first one ever
yeah,
made.
Yeah, the New York one.
Yeah, and then I didn't realize, I thought there was only one, but then I started looking up Girls Who Walk, and I realized there's so many in different places. So when I knew I was moving to Clearwater, St. Pete area, I looked up St. Pete Girls Who Walk, and I couldn't find a club. I actually found a Hot Girl Walk of St. Pete.
Oh, yeah, but the girl moved, I think.
The girl moved, they hadn't posted in months, and I DM'd them, and I guess it just, like, paused, but the cool thing about it was, like, I DM'd her, and I tried to figure out if, like, they were continuing it, but some of her followers followed me, and then we got talking, and, like, they said, oh, our leader had moved, but, like, would love to, you know, help you or orchestrate or join this club if you want to start St. Pete Girls Walk. So that's what I ended up doing, made the Instagram a week before, went to the Explore page and typed in St. Pete as a location, and then went to coffee shops, boutiques, hairdressers.
Oh, the hairdressers always know.
Yeah, the hairdressers. And there was like one more. I think it was just honestly like some little restaurants. And I went to those four locations and looked at their followers and like followed them, followed their followers. And then I posted that there was going to be a walk the following Sunday and just prayed that at least one person showed up. I was like, hey guys, I'm going to be here in this location at St. Pete Pier. Someone show up and walk with me maybe? And
was there a walk color for the first walk?
White.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember when I saw you guys in the coloring, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then there's like an admin page for all the like walk people. And I've posted in there before that we do like color days, but I haven't seen like anyone else really do.
No.
Well, actually Fredericksburg Who Walk, Liz.
Yeah, well, she started from St. Pete, so that's
yeah,
why
so she does
that.
The colors, yeah. But I think the colors is fun.
Yeah, my initial intention about the colors was if I was going to join a club and go to some random place and meet people, the scariest part is just walking in and not knowing who the heck is in the club.
Yeah.
So at least if we have a color scheme going, like if you walk in and see like four girls wearing white, pink, or blue, or like whatever the color is, then you know.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, that was my intention about it. It was more like a comfort thing, but it is pretty cool, like, you know, 50, 60 girls just like walk in on the street with the same color on. We get a lot of like, what are you guys protesting? And we're like, we're just walking.
Yeah, I did hear, I don't go to all of the walks, but I heard from one of the girls that they were wearing all black, and the guy said, are you doing a funeral bar crawl? And I'm like, what's a funeral bar crawl?
Okay.
But kind of sounds fun.
That would only happen in St. Pete.
I know. I was like, well, that sounds fun.
Yeah. No, that's super interesting.
Which walk has been your favorite?
I think my favorite walk was the first walk my mom and my aunt Shirley and the two girls went to.
Aww.
It was a super big walk, and we did that really pretty walk in Lanois Park.
Whatever. I wasn't there. Vinoy?
Vinoy, yeah.
The pink.
Lanois. Yeah, we did that walk, and then we did a little bit of the neighborhood, and then we also did the pier. It was like a longer one, and the girls had so much fun, and like a lot of, there was like some kids there too.
Aww.
So it was cute, like to see.
I know. Walking. Recently, we've been experimenting with different times,
yeah,
and we have like seen a huge drop in attendance.
Yeah.
Huge.
Oh, we can talk about that. So we used to always do Sunday at 10 a.m. for our walks, which we might go back to, but the month of April, we decided to experiment because we've gotten people asking for 7 a.m., people asking for 9:30, people asking for 11:30. I have church service at 9:30, or depends on the time, but it always overlapped with the 10:30 because it's like 9:30 or 11:30, so either way, I couldn't make it. So this month, we decided to experiment with it, and if you are going to create your own club, you'll definitely notice that it's really hard to please everyone. So what we decided was let's try out a bunch of different times in April and then see what people like best. And what we found is I think the happy medium might be 10 o'clock, but a lot of people like Saturday walks too. So we're trying to figure it out, and we just realized that it doesn't have to be the same every single week.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people express they like Saturday walks, and then like not Don't very many people showed up. I saw from the photos. So
was it like some sort of weekend? Like, oh, was it after First Friday?
I don't know.
So First Friday in St. Pete is like a day where everyone goes out, really.
I've never been to a First Friday.
The bars are packed. Brett and I went a few times. We haven't been out in so long, but when we first moved here, we used to go, and you'd think there was like a parade going on or something. They shut the street, and there's like concerts in the street.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Safety Harbor up here
has,
instead of First Friday, Third Friday. Ooh. And they do the same thing, but it's more family oriented. So we went with our neighbors last weekend, and there's like little people like selling little knickknacks on the street, and it stops at 10 o'clock. And I'm like, wait, this is perfect. So now I can like be in bed and wake up at a decent hour.
Yeah. That's nice.
Whereas in First Friday in St. Pete, you're going to bed at like 2 a.m.
I have to go sometime.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Okay, cool. We went on a tangent, but let's talk about some tips of girls that want to start a club in their area. You got some tips for them?
Yeah, I mean, I would say create the Instagram right away. Even if you don't know the name, just getting the Instagram created, and then you can always post like a coming soon or like an intro photo. I remember when Liz was creating her Instagram, I helped her. And she just put like a random photo in her icon. And then it was really cool when she started, she like had four options. And she let her followers pick which icon they liked for their like
logo? Group
logo.
Oh,
yeah.
For the logo? That's cool. I made the logo on Canva.
Yeah. This is a new logo though, right?
Yeah. These are our shirts. This one is from, who created this?
Danielle.
We had a design contest.
Yeah.
So Danielle won, and we did this design for sweatshirts and tank tops, which is so cute. And we have like hats and bags coming, which is fun.
Yeah.
So far, it's all been like volunteer too. Like, we don't get money from this. We just do it for fun and free, and like for people to make friendships. But definitely in the future, like if we wanted to have like free stuff to give out to people, we could think about that. But I think when you're first starting out to make a club, you know, like you kind of want it to be free, you want it to be welcoming, you want people to like come in and not have to like pay $5 to go on a walk, you know?
Yeah, and I think too, you have to remember like what your vision is for the club.
Yeah.
Because like,
what Julie, are your values?
Yeah. Like Julie liked to start the club and have a consistent walk every Sunday or every weekend, and then
built off that.
Yeah, and you want to make your thing is you want to bring people together for free. So like, we've had people that want to partner and like charge our members like a membership fee, but that's not like part of our vision.
It's not part of our vision or our values. So usually we'll decline. It depends. Like, we've done workout classes. If what we want to do is the partnerships that we're making, even with the workout classes, we understand that an instructor can't just like give up an hour of their day, but we get a significant discount for bringing that many girls in. So then we'll offer that. We'll offer things like that. So a typical class, let's say Pilates, is $30. If they give it to us for $10, that's very nice and kind, and we'll offer that to people. And we understand like something like that. But if we're running it, we're not charging. Yeah. And when we start at coffee shops now, we'll do is only partner with coffee shops that give our girls a discount or like offer something. One of my favorites, I think it's Greenberry or Raining Berries, and they have the cookies. It's Raining Berries.
Raining Berries, yeah.
And one of the walks, they chopped up cookie samples, and it was so good.
Oh, I wasn't cute. There for that one, but they do have really good cookies. I heard they sell them at the Rowdies Stadium.
So I had one last Sunday. Me and Shelby split one. It was so good. Okay, let's talk about different things that people can post on their Instagrams if they're starting a club to get the community involved.
Okay, we should also talk about how we get those discounts.
Oh, yeah. You want to do that first?
Sure. Okay. I mean, there's nothing, like, secret about it. We literally just message the coffee shop telling them about our group, and then I send like a group photo normally from like a recent walk and ask them if they want to do a walk with us, and then that the people we partner with give anywhere from 10% to 50% discount. Can they do the same?
Yeah.
But now I think we're gonna up it to 20%.
20 to 30% discount. Okay, if you guys hear Gus, he's playing with his bell. But another thing about the partnerships is we want to let them know before we go to the coffee shop. I didn't do this in the beginning because we were so small, but we let them know before so that they have enough employees there to help, you know, the amount of girls that we're going to have show up.
Yeah, so that's helpful. We have like 50 to 75 girls. And so it's kind of crazy. Within 30 minutes, there's like 30 girls ordering coffee.
They got to be quick, yeah. So we make sure that they have capacity. Another great thing is we make sure that people show up early enough to get their coffee. Yeah. Sorry, Gus is pulling me. And then they could also get like food and stay afterwards. Like we had brunch afterwards at Raining Berries last week. 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Green and Berry. I just keep getting confused between those things. One of the berries. We like those.
But we have girls that get in the coffee line sometimes when it's like about to leave. So we'll just tell everyone like at like 9:45 or 9:50 that if you get in the line now, like you're not going to get your coffee in time. Yeah. Because we leave like right at 10. I mean, we stay 10:05, but...
Depends on the walk. Yeah, we'll try to like give it a 5-minute buffer. And if people DM us like, oh, we're running late, I'll usually just send them my location so they can catch up. Because we want to get in and out of the coffee shop as quick as possible because there's other customers that we want to be mindful of.
Yeah, and a lot of girls come to the walk and then they like go do other things. And we only have from 10 to 11 to walk. So we try to like stay on that schedule.
Yeah.
What about the walking, like, routes? Like, how do you...
Oh, walking routes? So in the beginning, I would go and, like, actually do the routes and time them. But now I feel like I know St. Pete pretty well to where... And, like, other girls know the walks well. We'll just, like, start at the coffee shop and do a loop. So whatever that loop looks like, if it's at one certain place, it's kind of like a straight line and we walk the central. So it's kind of, like, around shops and brunches and restaurants. So then it's nice because people can, like, look at different places and window shop. And like then afterwards go there afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
Which is nice. Then for that one, since it's a straight line down the street, we'll do 30 minutes 30 minutes, and then other ones we loop the pier and it ends up being 30 minutes.
And we always start where we stop, right?
Yeah, we always stop where we start. And then new member Monday,
he's biting me again.
Gus, stop biting it.
Ow.
Okay, new member Monday, Gus, stop it. New Member Monday is something that we started posting that really helped grow our community, I think, on the Instagram. So as much as you can post on the community page and show off, like, the different things that you've been doing, the different events, the different, even outside of the official events, the unofficial events, we'll tell girls in the group, like, take pictures, send it to us, like, we want to see and join. So that's been really nice. And then, yeah, just the group me being able to, like, have different categories of group chats. So, like, girls are networking, we got a book club, we have, like, different happy hours for girls to go to. So, yeah, it's been really fun growing it, and, like, I really enjoyed doing it with you, and we're growing our team. We just have another volunteer, Shancy, that's helping us now, too, so... It's been great. Yeah. Any last words?
I know. It's been so much fun.
I would say if you're thinking about doing something, just push the button and post.
Yeah.
Don't be scared. You can always delete the post later.
For sure.
If you get no likes.
Yeah. I would just keep going, though. Like, you never know how it could grow. Like, we went from 8 to, like, 70, which is so cool. And it's been so much fun. We made so many friendships. And it's definitely, like...
I know.
It just, like... Also, I look forward to the month, too. I always say, like, you should look forward to something in your week, in your month, in your day. And that's, like, what can propel you forward and, like, get you excited about something. Especially if you're, like, feeling down or if you're moving to a new place and you're scared. Like, to have something that's free and you could just look forward to it is so fun.
Yeah. And it's, like, so nice to hear the girls. Like, one girl moved from South Africa and didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
Came to the group. And then I know another lady is a mom and, like, needed some socialization, so she came.
So nice. Yeah. It's been so much fun. Well, thank you so much for helping us and for being on the podcast. This was so chaotic. You guys are going to see, like, crazy different clips because... My dog won't stop eating our feet, and the camera keeps dying. But we did it, and I'm proud, and thank you guys so much for watching.